Well, we've been looking for weeks at questions Jesus asked, and today we're going to get to what I think is the most important question he ever asked. It is a question he asked his disciples after about 2.5 years of them walking with him and learning from him. And he's going to give them a final exam today. He's going to ask them this question: who do you say that I am? And we're going to see what their responses were. And he's going to ask us, each and every single one of us, whether we're saved, whether we're not saved yet, he's going to ask us that same question: who do you say that I am? It is the question that determines our eternal destiny. It is the question that says, are we going to heaven or hell? Are we going to spend eternity with him? So it's a simple message, but it's one that I want to make sure you can answer that question. And a lot of people will say, well, wait a minute. You know, you're preaching to a group of people here on a Sunday morning in church. Don't you think they know him? Well, we're going to see today that that's not always the case. And we want to make sure that we know him the way God wants us to know him. So turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 16. And I want to tell you what's going on as we start to get into this scripture. We'll be starting in verse 13, I think. But what's going on is Jesus knows that the cross is coming. He's going to start teaching his disciples the final things that they need to understand about what's going to happen when he goes and really who he is. Like I said, he's been teaching them for 2.5 years, but you're going to see that they really did not all get the concepts. Some of them didn't get it until after Jesus resurrected. His own family did not understand who he was until after the resurrection. So the question, who do you say that I am, is a very, very important question. So it was so important that Jesus took his disciples to a pretty far off place. He took them to a place called Caesarea Philippi, which is way up here. You know, they were in Jerusalem, all the way up to Caesarea Philippi, almost to Damascus. It's a long journey. It's way far away. But you know, it was apart from all the crowds that usually followed him. It was a place where he could go. There's one thing we're going to talk about in just a minute that was unique to this town. But he got them away from Jerusalem. He got them away from Nazareth. He got them away from Capernaum. He got them away from where the people normally knew who he was. And he took them to Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi was known for idol worship at that time. And this is a picture from today, obviously, but these little niches were there back in Jesus' time. The cave that you see to the left, on the left side, is the cave of Pan. Pan was the Greek god, half man, half goat, and he was the god of fertility. Well, this town was big, big, big into Pan worship. In fact, it was originally named for Pan. But by Jesus' time, it had become the center for idol worship. They had a temple to Caesar there, but each one of these little niches was a place where these people would come and they would get in line and they would come up and they would set their little G god into that niche, their little idol into that niche, and they would pray at that niche for their little G god to do whatever it was that they wanted their little G god to do. And it's while Jesus and his disciples were watching this process go on. Luke tells us that Jesus had been praying about it. He'd been there and he'd been praying. But Matthew's going to give us the quotes and things. But it's while they were watching this process go on, people bringing up idol after idol, god after god, putting him in those niches and praying, that Jesus asked his question. So sometimes you kind of wonder what was the situation, what brought this question on. Jesus saw these people putting their faith in false gods. He saw people putting their faith in wood, in gold, in stone, in things that couldn't talk. Just like the Old Testament, God said to Isaiah, he said, you know, your people are building idols that can't speak, they can't hear, they're deaf, they're dumb, they're mute. They need to turn back to me. And that's what was going on here. So Jesus is standing there, his disciples are beside him, and they are watching this process. Let's pick it up then in verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now this makes a little more sense now with all these niches, because all these gods, hey, here's this God of this, here's this God of this, here's this God that does this. Jesus says, well, who do people say I am? So they said to him, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Here's the key verse. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So let's look at this. This is the question. This is the question that Jesus asked each person. Who do you say that I am? How you answer that question determines everything about your life. Who is Jesus to you? Who do you say that he is? And we see that these people, you know, the populace had an opinion back then. Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah reincarnated, others Jeremiah reincarnated, or one of the prophets, somebody famous. They knew there was something different about him. So they thought, well, you know, okay, he's a good man. We hear this today. He was a good man. He was a good teacher. He was a preacher. He was a prophet. He was a moral man. All those are right, but they're not complete, which means they're wrong. And we cannot have an incomplete picture of who God was. And Peter gives the confession of who God really is. Who do you say that I am? And he confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Understand what that means. Christ was the anointed one, the chosen Messiah, the one who would redeem Israel, the one who was promised in Genesis 3 who would redeem mankind. Peter understood who he was. Peter, the spokesman for the apostles, understood who he was. And Jesus gave him a blessing in verse 17 because of that. But we're not here to talk about their confession. We're here today to talk about your confession. So if you're following in your bulletin, you will notice that the bulletin has a blank after the word you. That's not Deborah messing up or Parks typing something wrong. Here's the way it's supposed to go. Who do you, Kenny, say that I am? Fill in your name on that outline. Who do you, Parks, say that I am? Who do you, Penny, say that I am? Who do you, Philip, say that I am? Who do you, Wilma, say that I am? This is a question to each and every one of us. Do we think he's just a good man? Do we think he's just a good prophet? Do we think of him, to use common terms, the man upstairs? Our co-pilot, like those bumper stickers used to say? What do we think of when we think of Jesus Christ? And you know, we're in church, so we're all going to say, well, we think of him as God. Do we understand what that means? Do we understand that he is the creator of the universe? All things were created through him and by him. And by him, nothing was made except through him. Do we understand that he created us? He knit us together in our mother's womb. Do we understand that he is the reason this planet stays right where it's supposed to stay? Do we understand that he holds our lives in his hands? Do we really understand that he's in control of every single thing that happens to us? Do we really understand that he wants to have an intimate relationship with us? So do we know him up here? Or do we also know Him here? Do we know Him in our hearts? Do we know Him in an intimate way? That's how He wants us to know Him. And I told you that, you know, you say, well, you're preaching to the choir. You're preaching to church. Let me ask you to turn over to John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. And here, Jesus is talking to His apostles. And this story comes from about 2.5 years in also. So this is about the same time that Jesus is taking His disciples up to Caesarea Philippi. John chapter 14, verse 6. One of the most famous verses. Jesus said to them, or to him, He's talking to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. So He's talking to His apostles, who He's taught all this time. They've seen Him work miracles. They've actually done miracles themselves, remember? They got sent out. They were coming back. They were able to heal the sick. So they've seen His power. They've listened to Him talk. They've listened to His preaching. They've seen Him heal people. They've seen Him raise people from the dead. You'd think they have a pretty good picture of who Jesus is, wouldn't you? Jesus says in verse 7, if you had known Me, notice how that tense changes. If you had known Me, you would also have known My Father also. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. Now here's what I want you to see. Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, and I'm going to read it in the tone that it's written, Philip, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known Me? Y'all see that? Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known Me, Philip? This disciple, this apostle, followed Him from the very beginning, but he didn't know Him. Despite hearing His teaching every day, despite seeing Him do miracles, did he know Him up here intellectually? Yes, he did. Did he believe that He was the Messiah? Yeah. But did he know Him intimately? Did he know Him the way that God wants us to know Him? And the answer to that was no. So when Philip would answer this question, Philip, if you'll notice, is not the one that answered. Peter answered. Peter with foot and mouth disease constantly. He always was sticking his foot in his mouth. He was always saying the wrong thing. Not this time, right? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Philip didn't quite get it. It's okay. A lot of people didn't get it till after the resurrection. Thomas, who this started out speaking to, didn't get it until after the resurrection. When did Thomas actually confess Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures? Jesus shows up and he says, Thomas, you wanted to see my scars, my holes? Stick your hands in. Thomas then confesses, my Lord and my God. He knew Him because he had experienced Him. He knew Him because he had seen Him. He knew Him because all this came together and he was able to make that confession, the great confession, the same confession that Peter made, the same confession that Philip makes, the same confession that we all have to make. Romans 10:9 says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we confess Him as Lord, we confess Him as Savior, we confess Him as our risen Lord. So I don't want to make the assumption that everybody here today has done that, because Philip hadn't done it. Despite everything that Philip knew, despite everything that Philip had seen, despite everything that Philip had experienced himself and done himself, Jesus said, "How long have I been with you and you still don't know me?" Isn't that an awesome thing? It's sad in a way, but it's kind of encouraging in a way too, you know. If Philip didn't see all that there was to God, we understand, you know, we have the benefit of the Bible. But could you imagine walking with Jesus for 3 years? Could you imagine what you would know, what you would learn, what you would experience? And even then, Philip didn't get it. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10, "Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Confession of Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. It is the only way to salvation. Right? Jesus said, "And if you're going to confess me before men, I am going to confess you before my Father." And it's really important because the Bible teaches us that at the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus Messiah, which is why we sang that song, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. The question is, when do you do it? The question is, do you do it before eternity comes, or are you going to do it after eternity? You understand, the atheist, the Muslims, their knees will bow to Jesus Christ. Their tongues will confess Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity to make that confession now and live our lives for Him. The New Testament says, Philippians says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow to of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But that doesn't just happen in the New Testament. It happens in the Old Testament. Isaiah said the same thing. God was talking to Isaiah and he says, "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me, Yahweh, I am," same word Jesus used, "every knee shall bow." So there is coming a time, there is a time now where you have the opportunity to make sure, like Philip, like the disciples that were watching all these people put their gods in the niches that day, that you have the ability to say, "Yes, I know who God is." So the question is, who do you fill in your name? Say that God is. Who do you say that I, Jesus Christ, am? And it makes an eternal difference. One last scripture for today, John chapter 3. Start with that famous verse again, John chapter 3, 16. These three verses we're going to read tell us the eternal difference that making that confession does make. So if you are here today and you have never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you do not believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, I've got over 500 witnesses who can testify that He was raised from the dead. He's alive today. He's living in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. Do you believe that He's God? If you are here today and you have never said, "I can answer that question, I know how to answer that question," you need to say it today, because here is the difference. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We love that verse. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Watch verse 18. "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So we come into this world in a condemned state because we come into this world in a sinful state. Our condition doesn't get any better on our own. We commit sins of omission. We commit sins of commission. In our teen class, we're starting this series called The Respectable Sins. We're looking at things that we do as Christians that sometimes we don't even realize are sins. But according to the Bible, they're sins. And the Bible teaches that when we break one of God's commands, when we dishonor God in one way, we've broken them all. But we have one way out. Jesus said again, I am the way, the truth, the life. If we confess Him, that is our way out. That is the only way that we have to avoid eternal condemnation. Verse 18 again, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. It's not about rule following. It's not about getting our lives straight. Jesus will do that. It is about putting our belief in Him, confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing that God has raised Him from the dead. If that simple thing can work in your mind, the Holy Spirit has gotten into you, and He said to you, you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You need to be able to make the same confession that Peter made. So, who do you say that I am? So the invitation today is two questions. Have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ? That means, have you confessed Him as your Master? We like saying He's our Savior. Have you confessed Him as your Lord, the one who you will follow, the one who leads you, as we sang earlier, the one who's going to lead you to eternity? Have you confessed Him as that? And do you believe that God has raised Him from the dead? He was buried, He suffered on that cross, and He died for your sins, for my sin, according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures said this was all going to happen, and the Scripture this at that time was the Old Testament. It's all going to happen. Scripture said for 3 days He's going to be in that tomb, but on the third day He will rise again. And He will ascend into glory, and He will be seated at the right hand of the Father until He comes back to claim His church. Did that happen? Yes, it did. Even the Roman historians, the pagan historians, acknowledge that Jesus Christ was resurrected. He was seen by over 500 people after He was resurrected. He ate and He drank after He was resurrected. Those 500 people, most of them were still alive at the time these Gospels started being circulated. You don't see anybody disputing that Jesus was resurrected. So the question is, have you confessed Him with your mouth as Lord? And do you believe that God raised Him from the dead? That is what it takes for salvation. Now, you say, but my life's a mess. Okay. Jesus will cleanse you. Jesus will help you. He doesn't expect us to clean up our own lives before we come to Him. That's the awesome thing. Do you know why He doesn't expect us to do that? Because we can't do it. We can't do it without Him. Oh, we can put on a mask. We can dress. We can change our clothes. We can look better on the outside. But we're still the same on the inside. When Jesus comes into our hearts to live inside of us, when we say, yes, I confess You as Lord and Savior, and I believe that God raised You from the dead, our being changes. We become a new creation. We're not the same people. We're going to look the same for a while till we get our glorified bodies. Sometimes, unfortunately, we're going to act the same. We're going to still have a little bit of that old man in us. We're still going to sin. John tells us later on in 1 John, he goes, look, I know you're still going to sin. And when you do, confess, restore the relationship. But you won't lose your salvation. Jesus says this, come to Me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's inviting us one by one with this question. Who do you say that I am? If you can answer that question today, if you've answered that question today as a Christian, you need to keep answering it every single day. We looked at stuff today in a Sunday school, little bitty things that we don't think about. Do we give God glory in all situations? Who do we say that He is there? Did coincidence happen? Do we defer to God's will? Even Jesus deferred to God's will. We're not going to defer to God's will unless we can answer that question by saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." If we don't understand who He really is, we're not going to be able to put our self-will aside. We're not going to be able to crucify that old man. We're not going to be able to leave our wants and our desires and go to the better things that God has planned, because we won't believe they're better. So this is a question for everybody. It's not just a question for those who have not yet put their faith in Jesus. It's a question for every single one of you. So have you, fill in the blank, look at your outline, your name. Who do you say that He is? And if you don't, if you've not yet confessed Him before man, I invite you to do that today. If you don't confess Him that way in your daily lives, I invite you, I challenge you to do that this week. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You this morning. We thank You that Jesus cared enough to lay it on the line. Who do You say I am? Father, I pray that each and every heart, each and every tongue can confess that in this building this morning that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that You are our Savior, You are our Lord, You are the Creator, You are the Sustainer, You are our hope, You are our life, You are eternal life itself. Father, if there is a body in here that cannot do that, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will speak to them and enable them to understand that that's what it takes. But once they make that confession, You're going to reveal Yourself to them more and more, just like You did to Philip, just like You did to Thomas, just like You did to the other apostles, just like You did to the rest of us through Scripture, that we may know You more and that we may love You more and so that we may follow You more. Father, for those of us who are Christians, I pray that we still ask ourselves this question each and every day, and that we look for each and every opportunity to give You glory and acknowledge You as Lord and Savior in our lives, and to show others that we have put our faith in You because You are worthy. You are Jesus, Messiah, the name above all names. Father, have Your way during this invitation time. Move in the hearts of all of us that we know we've answered that question. And this we pray in Your Son's name. Amen.